Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I know it's a one day at a time approach for you, but for every team, it's about making it to the playoffs, pushing for the AFC East division. Obviously, the players know the stakes that they're playing for. At any point, do you address that with them?
No. We just take, you know, you can't get to where you want to get without handling what's right in front of you. I mean, I don't know. Maybe some other people can. I don't. That hasn't been the case for me in my life. You don't just jump to graduations and things like that. It doesn't just happen. You have to deal with what's in front of you. That's just been my approach. So I understand the question. I know you say that every other team's thinking about it. Maybe you know more than I do. But from that standpoint, my dealings with coaches around this league and players around this league is that they try to deal with what's in front of them and don't think about, you know, what's four or five games down the road. That's my experience, but you know, that's just me. And maybe you've had some situations where you've been able to kind of skip steps, or I don't know. I haven't been able to do that. So we're just going to focus on, you know, this next week. We got a big game against the Cincinnati Bengals. That's the one where it's a one game season. And that's the approach we're going to take. And if somebody else wants to approach it differently, you know, by all means. But I don't see any reason why anyone would approach it any differently than a one-game season. Just my thoughts.
Wow, that was Brian Flores
playoffs.
Talking about playoffs.
Ain't no playoffs.
Question asked yesterday in his press conference. We'll talk more about that and the Dolphins game from the weekend right now with Radio.com Sports NFL Insider Brian Baldinger. Insider calls are brought to you by Mercedes-Benz driver, Mercedes-Benz van. Find out how far an extra mile really goes. You can also hear Baldy with Jason Lock and Four on Baldy's Breakdowns with new episodes out twice a week. Just search Baldy wherever you find podcasts. Baldy, thanks for your time this morning. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Good to be with you, man. Thank you.
Baldy, well, I was curious. You had a chance to do the Jets and Dolphins game. We've had some articles written specifically about the offensive line not playing well. It's young. I'm just curious. You saw them earlier in the year, and now what are your thoughts on this offensive line? Are they getting better at all?
Well, you know, they keep juggling. Obviously, Austin Jackson is back the last couple weeks. You know, Jesse Davis goes in at right guard. You know, they lose Kinley. So they've had to juggle a little bit. I'll say this. You know, I thought they had a good first half, second half. Obviously, there was a lot of breakdowns. But I have been in defensive line meetings with Greg Williams before, the defense coordinator of the Jets. I never knew, Joe, in all my years of being around football, that you could have as many zone pressures as they have. And they just emptied the bucket, you know, on the Dolphins. And they struggle a little bit in that department. They're trying to find a running back. DeAndre Washington, you know, looks like he's the healthiest choice right now. And so that's been a problem because, you know, blitz pickup is important. And the Jets came after him in a variety of ways. And they struggled. So from that standpoint, and they've struggled to run the football throughout the year. So it showed up against the Jets, specifically in the second half, I thought, Joe.
Is it more about the run? Because we had this. Matter of fact, Zach and I were talking about this. Is it more about the running backs or offensive line, or you think it's a combo why they continue to average 3-point-something yards per carry?
Well, I think, you know, the running backs are very average at best. I mean, I don't care if it's Myles Gaskin or Ahmed or, you know, Breida. I mean, they're just Laird. I mean, they're going through a bunch of them. They've used six of them, Joe, to, you know, if I think I know the roster correctly. And, you know, some of it is injury related. But I think they're a little limited right there. You know, and then, you know, just the combinations that they're playing right now on the offensive line. It looks like to me that Karras and Flowers are the only two guys that have been in their positions for most of the year, and everybody else has kind of moved around. So I think that's part of it as well.
Baldy, I mean, I love watching the Baldy's breakdowns you put on Twitter each week, when you, especially the games you cover. But by watching the tape and watching the game up close and personal, what's the biggest difference in a Fitz-led offense for this Dolphins team versus a Tua-led offense that you've seen so far? What's the biggest difference between those two guys?
I think it's a glaring difference, but how quickly Fitz sees it. I mean, you know, the throws to Devontae Parker, I mean, he didn't need an offensive line to make those throws. He could have just put a pair of Bermuda shorts on and made the throw. I mean, he sees it right away, and he puts it in a position where Parker could go get it time and time again. I mean, he just sees things lickety-split, and that's the biggest difference, is how quickly he sees where he wants to go with the football. And in this league right now, when you have that, if you have a guy that can see it like that, man, I don't know. Like, to me, that's invaluable. I mean, you know, there's a couple guys that see it right now, and they have a guy that they can go to go get the play. And when you have it, and Mahomes has it, obviously, with Tyreek Hill, but and with Kelsey, but I think that's the difference between Fitzpatrick. And I'm still shaking my head that they're going to go back to Tua. It's not a knock on Tua, but this – and it's not a knock on anybody that says the playoffs at this point, because nobody has talked about the playoffs with the Dolphins in 5 years.
Right.
And so you have to be excited about it. It's exciting for the players to play, you know, December football for the first time in a long time for most of the guys in this team, and including Ryan Fitzpatrick. They've never played meaningful football in December. And so I don't know how you can avoid it. I mean, I would think that'd be a great thing to talk about.
Yeah, well, not the coach who's getting ready for the next game, and you know how
yeah,
I think
you know,
you've been around
the Patriot way and all that, and that's great.
Right.
That's what the Patriots' measuring stick was. But this is, I mean, the fan base is getting excited. They know it's a pretty good football team, maybe a real good football team. Who knows? There are a lot of really big matchups coming up, but like December football is exciting in South Florida right now.
Yeah, no, we're with you on that. Hey, the defense, has the defense surprised you? They give up some yards, but they keep people out, just about everybody, out of the end zone now, about 18 and a half points a game. What surprised you the most about what you see from this defense?
Just how well they play the scheme, Joe. You know, the corners are good, really good. I mean, Xavier might be the best. He's been good. He's healthy. He's playing at a very high level. Anybody that knows Byron Jones knows how smart he is. And just how consistent he is. He plays every game. He's not going to get you a lot of interceptions, never has, but he's going to play lockdown defense for you. So you got those guys just locking you up on the outside, and then you just got all the different things they do on the inside, you know, which is a variety of pressures. It's a variety of fronts. It's really multiple. And really, when you're doing all those things, you're not getting beat on the back end. And so I think it's just how efficient they are up front right now.
And I think another thing that we've all noticed in the last couple of weeks or when Fitzpatrick's in there is those tight ends are much more involved in the game. Gesicki's catch in the end zone and just the other guys that are just all around there, he just involves those tight ends and how important they are to that. Is that a huge difference with Tua? Does he need to depend more on those tight ends like Fitz does? Because somehow the offense rolls a little better sometimes when those tight ends are involved.
I'm actually surprised that Gesicki isn't a bigger part of the passing game. I know who the kid is. It was a home game for him on Sunday. He grew up in Maniwaukin, New Jersey, not far from the Meadowlands there. I mean, he's just one of those guys I think is just so athletic and runs so well and jumps so high. I mean, I thought he'd be a bigger part of it. But, I mean, I think, too, is just going through, you know, his progressions and, you know, the secondary and the coverage is going to dictate where he goes with the ball. I'm not going to be overly critical of Tua in the limited time that he's played. But I think that you know, a guy like Fitzpatrick understands the value of those tight ends and how they create mismatches, and they do, and how to find them. And he just knows that.
Baldy, way to get everybody fired up here in South Florida this morning by saying you think Fitzpatrick should stay a quarterback when everybody's got the Tua crush. Way to go, man. Way to go. You've really helped us today.
You know, look, the Tua crush is, it can be real, Joe, and I'm not down on Tua. But to me, Fitz just is a better fit. And you can't – the one thing you can't do is you can't lie to your team. And I'm not saying they don't respond to Tua. They won every game that he started and finished. You know, so there's nothing wrong with that. And he may very well be a great player. I said it on the broadcast. I think Fitzpatrick is a better fit for the offense down the stretch.
Yeah. Hey, another one, and the reason I've been talking about you all morning. So am I okay with Austin Jackson and Robert Hunt and Kinley? Like, we shouldn't be a panic out with everybody once they get healthy again and stuff. You're okay from what you've seen so far, or is there a red flag up a little bit with these young guys?
Well, I mean, I think Austin Jackson's got a lot to grow into. You know, I mean, I think he has struggled at times out there. He hasn't played. Obviously, he was out for a long time. So you got to get your sets down better than what he has shown right now. I'm not so sure Davis isn't a better choice out there right now the way he played. But you know, you're gonna get the best of some really good players coming up. Cincinnati's got a really good edge rusher on the outside over there. You know, as does the Chiefs and Frank Clark. So he's going to get tested. I like Kinley a lot inside. People can talk about his pass protection. I like the way he covers people up. And, you know, Hunt is, I think he's okay. I don't think he's a great player at this point, but not many rookies are at that spot.
Yeah, but they get better, right? I mean, this isn't like this is the best they're going to get. They're going to get better as time goes on.
I think they're going to get better. I mean, Austin Jackson's athletic. I think he's just got to get better with his sets and more consistent with his sets right now.
Right.
Baldy, I think the question Joe is trying to ask is, do we need to draft an offensive lineman in the first round next year? After last year drafting those three guys, putting them right in the mix, signing Eric Flowers, Jesse Davis here, Ted Karras, getting your six guys there, do you still need more bodies there?
I'm not looking ahead to the draft, but I mean, if the kid from Oregon is available whenever they pick, I mean, I wouldn't blink. I'd go get him.
Oh, Baldy, you're the best. Yeah. Hey, Baldy, always great having you, man.
Yeah.
All right, man. Take care. Thank you, brother.
See you, buddy. See you guys.
All right, that was Brian. I think we just needed to get right to the question, right? That was it.
He goes, look, the guy from Oregon is like friggin' – he'd be Pro Bowler right now if he's playing.
Well, Joe, I mean, they get the 11th pick in the draft, and that kid drops 8-9 spots. That's a different story. Right, exactly. That was Radio.com Sports NFL Insider Brian Baldinger. Insider calls are brought to you by Mercedes-Benz. Drive a Mercedes-Benz van. Find out how far an extra mile really goes. You can also hear Brian with Jason Lock and Four on Baldy's Breakdowns. New episodes out twice a week. Just search Baldy wherever you find podcasts.
All right, let's talk about Transworld Business Advisors and Andy Cagnett. I want to talk to everybody out there that's been going through this, and you will sooner or later. Man, is it time to sell my company? It's crazy what's going on. I'm worried about the future. Maybe it's time. I'm burned out. I'm tired of the employee stuff that's going on. I'm ready to retire for good or just go do something else. I just want to find out what my company's worth. I want somebody to help me sell it. Well, you're in good shape because there's a guy named Andy Cagnetta and Transworld Business Advisors and his staff are ready to help you get top dollar, sell your company, no matter how specialized, no matter what size it is. It really doesn't matter. No. And by the way, you're not going to a mom and pop shop when I start with Andy Cagnetta. Transworld Business Advisors has been around for more than 40 years, 40 plus years. Nothing's too big, nothing's too small. 50,000 to 50 million. No matter how specialized. And well, I don't know if anybody'd ever want this. It's so specialized. In some cases, I was just told this the other day. Transworld has people looking to buy companies just like yours. Hey, if something pops up like your company, please let me know. I'm really interested in buying that, moving to South Florida, living here. A lot of people with a lot of money right now looking to go. And It is nice to have Andy and his team. Lots of experience. They've done it. They've seen it all. And they can help you get through all the, well, do they really have the money or not? That's Andy and his team's job. They'll take good care of you. That's right. Transworld is the largest business brokerage in the world. 600 brokers, 200 offices around the world. They can create competition for your business. Call Transworld at 954 or 305-504-8100. That's 504-8100 or just visit tworld.com. Hey, let's get this thing started, man. Find out, get some information. You're going to love Andy and his team. That's tworld.com. You'll learn all you need to know on how good they are. All right, welcome back. I want to thank Baldy for joining us this morning. Talk a little bit about the Dolphins. Probably a lot about the offensive line. I was trying to calm down a little bit and hoping we were going to be okay, man, with a little experience and on that offensive line. Crazy day yesterday, man. Don't be waiting around for the Ravens-Steelers today because it's tomorrow and it's at 3:40. I believe it's still on NBC, right?
It is, yes.
3:40 on NBC.
Awful announcing, and a couple other websites have already picked up on the fact that it's at 3:40 in the afternoon because NBC wouldn't give up the tree lighting ceremony in Rockefeller Center.
Wow.
Otherwise, that would have been a primetime game Wednesday night.
So what gets bigger ratings?
I don't know. I guess it's crazy.
Like a lot of families and
right.
I don't want to say women that like that and think that's really cool and it's tradition and all that, but man.
My wife was pretty excited about it.
She was?
Yeah, she would have really bummed out if they put a football game on instead of that.
Well, can I just say this? I don't know what the ratings are going to be, and I don't know what NBC gets during the day. But their ratings are going to be really good from 3:40 to about 6:40, almost 7 o'clock. They're going to be really good, especially if they get a good game. And Pittsburgh is a really good draw around the country to start with. There'll be ratings that NBC's not used to getting here in South Florida. I could tell you that. Right? They got to give up, you know.
Andrew Marchand from the New York Post, I believe, says that after Schefter's report of the 2020 note that the Ravens-Steelers are going to be kicking off Wednesday at 3:40 because of NBC. He said NBC couldn't move the tree lighting closer to Wednesday night or out of the way. The lighting is an expensive production and advertisers love it. So Steelers-Ravens, therefore, in the afternoon.
Yeah. Guess what?
An advertising thing also.
NBC's going to love having that show on, too, for that game. So we'll see how that all plays out. And rolls on. Hey, by the way, it is crazy. So while this is all going on, we're moving that game. The 49ers are getting kicked out of Santa Clara where they practice and play their games in that new stadium. So they're going to get bounced. They're actually going to move. If they don't change here like today, the 49ers are going to be moving to Arizona, practicing and playing their games where Arizona Cardinals play in Phoenix. That's crazy. And if that wasn't crazy enough, yesterday Houston loses two of their best players, including Will Fuller, suspended for 6 games, who is having a great year. And, oh, by the way, thank you for helping us get rid of one of their number one weapons, trying to help the Dolphins so they don't win too many more games. I do appreciate that.
Didn't they just cut Kenny Stills in the last week also?
Cut Kenny. I don't know where Kenny's going to pop back up. I was actually surprised he hasn't played more football than he has because thought he was pretty good. And I thought Will Fuller actually was going to get traded there for a while. I thought they could get something for him. Of course, he ends up having the best year he's had with the 53 catches and almost 900 yards and 8 touchdowns on that struggling Texans team that they have right now. And then on top of that, Monday and Tuesday, today, yesterday – camps are closed, so it's been pretty crazy so far. And last night, DK Metcalf, who, by the way, I have along with Tyreek Hill and Aaron Rodgers on my fantasy football team, all play. No, I'm just kidding.
That'd be a good team, Jeff.
I totally made that. I don't play fantasy football, as you guys know. But I'm guessing if you had Metcalf and Tyreek Hill and Aaron Rodgers, throw 4 touchdowns, You probably had a
good week. Yeah, I would assume that you probably won.
You win off those three guys, and you don't worry about anything else, right?
Well, you're catching on, Joe.
Yep, Joe's got it.
Yeah, smart ass. Yeah,
Joe's got it. Fantasy expert.
I just wanted to make sure you you guys are.
Hey, if you had the best players this past weekend, did you win?
You're not trying to take my Thursday night show, are you? Rose in the nose? Is that what you're trying
no,
to?
No, you don't have to worry. I would never try to fake anybody out except looking at the stat sheet. That's couldn't do it. Wouldn't do it. Wouldn't even try.
Tyreek Hill, by the way, had 50 points in most leagues for fantasy this week.
Damn.
That it's unheard of.
What's it take to win? What's it take to win a fantasy football before I move on to this next thing?
Well, it's interesting, Joe. You actually have to get more points than your opponent.
No,
and
no,
then you
but
win.
What usually wins?
I would say anywhere between 120 and 130 points each week.
Is that seems to be all right.
Something like that. Depending on your league.
All right.
Well, if your opponent scores more than 130, you have to score more though.
Probably lost. Yeah.
I get that. I know you're the smartest guy in the room all the time, but I just wanted to ask.
No, people, it is funny that people that think they have any idea about fantasy football, no offense to you, Zach, I know you do your fantasy thing, but people that think they have any clue of what's going to happen or who's going to score what, it's just, come on.
Let's talk about somebody who's probably having a very bad fantasy.
No, but it's all luck, though. I mean, it's you guys want to sit around and call it skill, and you can make your predictions if you want.
How are your teams doing this year? You have good teams this year?
I actually have one that's doing fine, but out of my two, but again, you think you can predict this stuff, that's fine.
But you've got a pretty good idea that Tyreek Hill could, if there was somebody who's going to have a game, those two guys would be the two guys that you would go, maybe not to the number Tyreek Hill, but you would say those are 100-yard and
yeah, usually the guys you take in the first or second round of the fantasy draft, if they're not hurt, play well, yes.
Right. Oh, there's another shot. There you go.
Well, no. Joe, read between the lines. Who was your first pick, Saquon Barkley?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, okay.
Injured.
Well, I knew that before the season. I just picked him anyway. I figured he was going to tear up his knee.
So
that makes me – but that's the thing. Like, you have these arrogant fantasy people. The problem is you have arrogant fantasy people like Zach who think that, him getting injured is something I should have known about at the draft.
No.
So he goes, you picked Saquon Barkley.
No,
I don't
care. You're salty now. It sucks. I'm sorry. Sorry, Barkley.
Man, I should have never brought up the friggin' just having a little fun that I had. Those guys knowing, you guys know I don't even play.
Wasn't worried about you talking about fantasy football.
So I was looking last night. I couldn't help it, and I've been trying to stay away from where the team's going to draft. It's clear. I say this all the time. What they need to improve on this 7-4. And by the way, I'm enjoying the 7-4, and I'm not looking ahead. I'm not. But I was just kind of curious. Because they have these lists up to date on where you'd be picking, and so I went okay, and I see the names, and I follow guys, and a lot of guys have already opted out that are on my list, and everybody's list probably right, like Parsons and Russo and Chase, the wide receiver at LSU, those guys have already opted out for they're not playing this year. They're already working out somewhere, getting ready for the draft. But the Dolphins are just sitting, I'm just bringing it up, 11, 22, both in the first round, second round, 42, and 55. And to be honest, I didn't even know they had a third round pick. I was surprised, unless that changes, because I know we traded to the Raiders. I don't know if we had another third round pick in there. But I was like, this draft, so what we're getting right now at 7-4, hopefully 8-4 after the Cincinnati game. Man, it is nice to know that you got all these damn high draft picks to – you got to hit on them, obviously, and you're giving everybody the benefit of the doubt with that many good picks that you can get some guys can come in, especially skilled guys. Have we noticed that skilled guys like rookie running backs and wide receivers especially can have an impact right off the bat?
It'd be nice. Four out of the top 55, Joe. If two of those guys are wide receiver and running back and they play from day one next year, then that's a win of a draft for Chris Greer again.
I'm wondering – I was just reading about Russo last night, who's a nice kid, and we've had him on the show, and he's working out. And matter of fact, maybe we can get him on here soon again. But so Greg Russo, they're all saying what you would expect. Well, he had the one great year, but it would have been nice – to see him come back and do it again with the other guys. And I agree. It would have been, I think it would have solidified everything. But saying all that, he's probably still going to be a top 10 pick just off friggin' ridiculous physical talent upside. and those 15 sacks that he had in that 1 year, right? I mean,
the potential word, Joe, the potential of a pass rusher that looks like that, that had 15 sacks in college football the last time he was on the field. The only person that had more sacks than him was the number two pick in the draft, Chase Young. So, yeah, there's the potential and that position. If you're one of those four unbelievable positions that everyone looks for in the NFL, then, yeah, if you have the potential, you're going to be a high draft pick. And right now, it looks like he's basically the number one or number two guy on the board at pass rusher.
And the pass rushers and the tackles, right? Outside of the quarterbacks, and there's expected to be four or five quarterbacks go pretty early in this thing. And
what's that fourth position we talk about?
Well, the guys that block and the guys that pass rush are going to be big and cover corners. I mean, you can pretty much – We've seen what the Dolphins have done and really built their defense around, which was a game plan. Any weaknesses you might have, you blitz them up and you cover on the back end. And boy, it has worked out to this point perfectly. But I do wonder if a Russo's there early.
If it comes down to Russo or a wide receiver and you had your pick, who would you take? And I'm talking about one of those guys you said at wide receiver, not another guy like that we haven't really talked about. I'm talking about Waddle or Jamar Chase. Like if one of those guys is sitting there, but Russo's on the board too, where do you prioritize there?
Oh, man.
It's tough. It's not easy. That's not an easy question to answer. Because both you want, both you need.
So I would – look, you can't have enough pass rushers. And when you get one of those really good pass rushers, you don't have to blitz as much because they win a lot of one-on-one battles on the outside like we've seen Russo do. And he is, for anybody that's followed him down here, I mean, played wide receiver and he's played everything. And he came in real skinny and he's now filled out to look like a friggin' defensive end. So, man.
It's going to be rough. I know. It's not an easy one. That's not an easy question.
But we do need somebody to blow the top off. Right. We need explosive plays. And I have not forgotten about running back and wide receiver. And Baldy talked about a special running back. I'm not big on a running back in the first round. I just want to start with that. So I am not a running back in the first round guy. Are you guys?
It depends on how much you love one of those top two guys, because you might have to use that 22 on them if that's what the other pick's going to be.
All right.
And if they ended up doing that and picking one of those two top guys that we're talking about, the ATNs of the world or the kid from Alabama, if one of those two guys is your pick there, I don't know if a lot of people are going to be upset by that. I don't know if I necessarily do it, but.
I'd go all offense and then figure out the rest.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's not a bad way to look at it. The only thing that's getting ripped in the text machine right now is the Baldy comment on at 11 or whatever, if that offensive lineman's there from Oregon to take him. Someone texted, I don't care how good the kid from Oregon is. If we take an offensive lineman in the first round, Greer should be fired.
Yeah. No, I agree. By the way, that's a good call.
I'm with that. Right. I'm with that, too.
You can't go, wait a sec. You just drafted one in the first round.
Right.
And now, and by the way, he's a young, young guy. Like, we got the two youngest guys, like, in the NFL. Our corner and our left tackle are, like, babies as far as age. So, I'm with you. But I don't know. The Russo thing is the only thing that might break my skilled position offensively list. I don't know.
It's a rough one. I know.
And by the way, we haven't had great success with first-round picks at defensive end.
No, we have not.
And the guys
Russo
we have
would break it. Russo
and
would
the
break
guys,
it.
The guys we have are pretty good. So I don't know. I'm gonna need your help out there. 305-567-0560. Just looking ahead a little bit. Even though we're 7-4, I can't wait for the game this week. I'm into every game, but I mean, it's okay when you got an insurance policy to look at it every so often. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh. Honey, I like our insurance plan here. It looks good. And those four picks are nice to have in your back pocket
that you can
improve, right, real, real quickly. Anyway, hey, we'll come back. 305-567-0560. I'll never mention fantasy football again, even goofing around. But I will tell you what I will talk about, your South Florida Chevy dealers. I love talking about them. I love the cars. I love those trucks. Oh, my gosh, those Silverado trucks are awesome. And those SUVs, man. And I always start, I've been starting since I had a chance to stop by a dealership and see the new Tahoes and new Suburbans. They got a little different look to them, a little sportier look to them, but you still get all that space. And if you're like me, and no matter what's going on out there, you like space when you're driving, and I do too. I hate getting in something I'm cramped up in. I hate it. And that's why I love my Chevy Tahoe, and I know you're going to love it too. And the new ones, even better. Hey, but there's a lot more going on at your South Florida Chevy dealer. I can hear everybody going, there you go again. You went off on your Chevy Tahoe and how much you love it and all the room and how much fun it is to drive. We'll talk about the Silverado trucks, how durable, all the different styles you have to choose from with great deals going on. And then let's make sure we talk about the Traverse and those Chevy Blazers, even the smaller mid-size SUV or smaller SUV like the Equinox SUV. I can go on and on, but bottom line is this. This is the best overall product Chevy has ever had from top to bottom. Safety, more space, great price, and an unbelievable look. We got it figured out, man. The 2020s, we're moving them out with great deals. The 21s are coming in for you. Take advantage. Find new roads at your South Florida Chevy dealer with locations in Dade, Broward, even Monroe County. And we are back talking a lot about the Dolphins. So, man, the Russo is the one thing. I think part of it is because he's a UM guy. Really like him. Really likable guy. I think, you know, but we need help on offense, man. We can get by on the other side, but we need to get some. We need to blow the doors down on the other side, man. We need somebody who can run over the top at a different gear. Which, by the way, everybody says Waddle is the guy that runs the super fast times. The guy with the broken ankle.
Yep.
Who's going to get healthy. And then there's Chase and Smith and you know all the other names. Anyway, what do we got coming in? 305-567-0560 on the text machine, Zach.
All right, two straight texts. It said Najee from Alabama. That's the running back we want. There you go. Some people are saying that a complete player can catch a ball out of the backfield. Okay, we appreciate that one. Another one says best available player, need playmaker, but Russo takes defense to another level. Going to be tough.
That was that pause. Whoever that was my pause, man. I'm with you on that. Like,
Someone said Chase with Part and Micah Parsons or Chase and Russo in the first. Yeah, that'd be nice.
That's a nice.
Hey, it wasn't that more of a possibility when the Texans had like a top four or five pick in the draft.
So the only thing with Parsons, and listen, he's going to be a stud. I agree. He's going to be another one of these young linebackers, going to be really good. I'm going to have to pass due to our needs on the other side of the ball.
Yep. The next text right after that one said, need a playmaker at the first pick. Tua doesn't have enough weapons. Playmaker.
Agree.
Yep.
Agree.
Mm-hmm. You know something we don't need in the draft, someone put in, he goes, a long snapper. Right, correct.
Yeah, no more draft. We're set. When you draft a guy in the sixth round, a long snap, he better be your long snapper like John Denny for 29,000 years.
I feel like that would be great if we can get it at 20.
I think John Denny literally like finished snapping and said, all right, I'm getting Social Security now. Like, I mean, he did it forever.
Charles Harris over Dalvin Cook almost pisses me off as much as John Avery over Randy Moss. How do us fans sit on the couch and know better than the guys in the front offices? Same as in passing on Russell Wilson. How the hell did he go in the third round? He dominated the ACC, then transferred and dominated the Big Ten, all this while being a top baseball player. I was so pissed the Finns let him go, but we went all in on Tannehill, who was a wide receiver with 3 years in college. I feel like I draft a lot better than most GMs, and 90% I'm right. There you go. 90% he's right.
That was a big O special right there.
Woo,
I just thought of the great big O, man, right there.
Someone said the name of your fantasy team would be I Love Florida 72, by the way. I just had to throw that in there. I'm sorry.
Hey. So, first of all, everybody got to stop on Russell Wilson. Stop it. Stop it. He went in the third round. Stop it. Everybody could have had him. So has every fan base got one of these guys that says that? I would have taken Russell Wilson.
Sure. I'm still mad the Dolphins waited six rounds to take Tom Brady and then New England did. But, like, what am I going to do about it now?
I did think Dalvin Cook was going to be a stud. And I still remember what happened to Dalvin Cook, that he was hanging around with bad guys back home and got hit with the inner city. He hadn't let his buddies go, which – and Jimbo Fisher, in fairness, whatever you think of Jimbo, was jumping up and down saying, you're full of crap. This guy is all about business. And you see how good he is right now.
Yep. He's pretty good. He's a pretty good player, right?
Love
the team. The team hasn't had a Pro Bowl linebacker since Zach Thomas. We're horrible against the run. Baker's good, but he's too small. Middle linebackers are more impactful than defensive ends. Ooh.
So, like, first of all, the guys that just come up, take on the run, and that's all they do. They can't play in his offense or his defense. His defense, you got to be able to do a little bit of everything. That's why he likes Baker so much, even though Baker didn't always play a lot of snaps. He likes it. He can run side to side. He can cover a little bit, although that's been questionable at times this year. And he can blitz. So we got rid of Raekwon, who was really good against the run. Came off that year. He was really good against the run. Really good. But that's all he could do. And that's not what this coach wanted. He wants guys can run around and do almost everything so that you can – have unlimited stuff to do with your defense. So.
This texter said, this is from the Jedi, by the way. I still get upset every time I see CeeDee Lamb making great catches for the Cowboys while our first-round pick, Iggy, is getting burned and now the fourth cornerback on this team. So if the Dolphins spend our first-round picks, both of them, on a speedy wide receiver and running back, I'll definitely be fine with that. I'm just saying, hashtag Jedi, and now I love his new hashtag, on to Cincinnati.
There you go.
Every week he's on to the next team. I like.
Well, listen, man. Like, so I know some people are going, why are we talking about this stuff, man? We've got these games. We're right in the hunt. We're 7-4. We got Cincinnati. Good chance to go 8-4. Well, listen, man. I've just said, like, don't get all mad. It's just, it's nice to know when you're going down the street, you got really good insurance. It's nice to know that your backup plan is 2 1s and 2 2s, and the only other teams I think that have 2 1s. Or Jacksonville and the Jets.
Right, that's it.
Who have the top two picks in the draft. Are going to have the top two picks most likely in the draft.
Yeah. Oh, this one's stinky. Greg Rousseau's the next Deion Jordan 2.0. Ooh, I hope not.
So is somebody saying that? So let me just remind everybody this. Deion Jordan never had a big sack year at Oregon. It was all potential. You can go back and look at his numbers. Rousseau had 15 sacks in a friggin' ACC. So I don't think they have anything in common. And then just to follow it up, the thing I would do, and I think every defensive end, and it's not fair to Greg Rousseau, I am checking out background. I'm going through his elementary school and making sure we are not dealing with. And now, I don't want this to sound cold because I've dealt with it in family already, but depression, anxiety, I mean, it's a new time, man. And I have been told we've had a first and a second round pick and another first round pick that have dealt with that to the point that two of them, left tackle, everybody knows, Jonathan Martin and,
of course,
and Deion. I mean, because in my opinion, we didn't do our homework to know, and that doesn't mean going to the college and talk to the head coach.
No, you can't.
Or the trainer.
No,
I mean, you got to do your homework. And man, defensive ends. I'm not gonna say who the other guy is.
No, you don't have to. We all know.
Bubba, you just got to do your homework along with the playing because you are gonna. You're not going to dominate most likely like you're in college because you're going to go against a lot better players. So you're going to go through some highs and lows and you get better instead of fall apart. That's it. You want a guy like, oh, I'm not having success. And then they get down and then they got problems. You want a guy like, damn it, he got me today. I'm getting his ass next time we play.
Right, right. Here's a good one from Rafa in Miami. Give Tua weapons. I want zero excuses if whether Tua's our guy or not in the next couple of years. Let's go, Fins. I agree.
Well, Tua, I can tell you, everybody in the organization is saying Tua's the guy.
Right. Get him some now, weapons.
So he does need, we do need more. And we got to hope this offensive line, this young offensive line across the board, these are the six guys going forward. These are the six.
Someone said Waddle or Chase, then Travis Etienne or Harris. Yeah, I'm okay with that. Our first two.
Yeah. Matter of fact, looks like you're copying my list. That was so good.
But with that said, the way the text is written out, that means you would take a running back in the first round. If those are the first two picks, and I know that you have a problem.
So, Zach,
I know.
I don't think either one of those running backs, maybe one, go in the first round. I think.
Well, we saw how special the class of running backs were last year, and only one guy went, and he was 32nd. So it's not like all of a sudden five guys went last year, and there's a big influx of that going on right now. That second round is normally where these guys are going now.
And by the way, these are just the guys we know, right?
I mean, right, we don't know anybody.
A lot of other guys that aren't playing or played two games this year because of COVID. COVID's screwing it up for everybody. Hey, man, don't go away. Levy and Stu Gotts are coming up next. Thanks for being with us, man. We'll try to fake our way through it and have a better show for you tomorrow. I swear, man.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.